To live creatively is a choice. You must make a commitment to your own mind and the possibility that you will not be accepted. You have to let go of satisfying people, often even yourself. Jessica Olin is a writer and illustrator living in Brooklyn, New York. You can follow her on Twitter.
Oh, children. Better late than never. This is your friend, Not So Shy John, live in the flesh on Wednesday afternoon at 3:27. Hey, hi, kiddies. Let's see here. Let me turn this off. Clunk, clunk-a-rooney. Sorry about that. Thank you. All right. Hey, well, I'm here, indeed. I understand we may very well be hearing from Tucker Booth out in the hinterlands. Always good to have a co-pilot, even if they're phoning it in. That's quite all right. Good to be here nonetheless. Eh, well, let me just start with some crazy music, okay? Here, try this. Thank you.
Well, they don't wear pants in the southern part of France, and the girls down there don't have any underwear. Well, my friends all say you're wasting your time flying back and forth to France all the time, and I say, hey man, what do you mean? Just hold your tongue till you see what I see. Fine looking woman from the south of France walks up to me with no pants and says, well, they don't wear pants in the southern part of France. What are you gonna do about it? And I said, if you get a little closer, I'll show you. Well, people always criticize me because they just can't dig Paris, and I must admit that it pisses me off because I like girls with no pants and stuff. I guess one could never say of the people in southern France that they could be guilty of having ants in their pants. Well, they don't wear pants in the southern part of France.
Like I say, you know, these Dr. Demento songs are a total crapshoot.
When you've had too much to drink, there's certain things to keep in mind. Like if you find your hands and underarms are bleeding, your beer bottle might not have a twist-on cap. And don't ever go home with a woman they call Moose or Vince. And never bet that you can't fit your head inside a glove compartment. Get drunk with dignity. Keep in mind that just because a bulldog licks your face, it's not necessary to lick him bad. Stay away from drinks with names like brain seizure or hippo laxative. Get drunk with dignity. If a bar has human ears nailed to the walls, don't pass out there. And if your homemade jello has some goldfish in it, you use the wrong bowl. And there are phrases you must learn to avoid. Phrases like, that badge looks stupid, and I can prove these shoes are fireproof. Get drunk with dignity. Try not to drool on bikers. Don't moan a nun unless you've got a real good reason.
and now Twang Bang.
Twang Bang. And it's called Twang Bang because all they got, that's what they do. They play them twanging things and beat on them.
There's a twanger and a banger.
I thought maybe you should have two heads.
Baby, and I always will. If she had two heads, I would love her still. Two heads of hair look good on you. Twice as much run my fingers through. Two extra ears to whisper to. Baby, baby, I love you.
And you.
We'll be right back.
hear the sound. It's mostly MSG, lightly battered, deeply fried. It's only flatulation, but it's such a gas. You feel better when the breeze blows past. You feel better when the breeze blows past.
All right, I'm back. And we're here on the phone with Tucker Dale Booth.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Hey, peoples, calling
what's
in.
Up,
and,
John?
Well, let's see. First off, the playlist. That was a triple shot plus one. They don't wear pants in the southern part of France. Get drunk with dignity. I love my baby, even if she had two heads. And don't eat the special. All sound advice coming to you from the Kill Radio team here. We're fighting for you. And also special thanks and a tip of the hat to Joni Young. May she stay forever young. I guess she will.
America eats us young.
It's in her lineage, yes, indeed, for setting the board up for me and getting over all the technical problems that stymied her and messed up her show and actually made her run late. So, you know, it was a legitimate reason because...
I got to say, with Joni, I feel kind of like it's deja vu all over again. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, no, the extra line was disconnected. It was connected to the tape deck. So who's running tapes? And the phone was screwed up, and she fixed the phone, too. It was staticky, and she said it was staticky through a whole conversation she had with, like, a state representative. So,
Kill Radio.
Life on the edge.
So, John, man, you know, we had a good show last Monday on Needs a Job.
It went very well.
And we've had some good response on Twitter and Facebook from the new podcast that just went out at RadioForAll.net.
I'm so glad. I did a good write-up on my Facebook page.
Yeah, it's been a nice response so far. So all those of you that don't know, tune in Mondays from usually around noon to 3 or so, L.A. time.
And we'll be here holding it down.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, even my news podcast had 11 hits as of last night.
There you go.
And that's good, too. I posted that on Facebook, too. Because the thing I just played, and I let it play through to the end, another reason why I was kind of late is because the middle article was about how we squash creativity. Well, we touted...
Yeah, I shared that link. That's, you know, it's an interesting write-up.
Touted out of one side of our mouths and then totally destroy it on the workplace and in the school place and try and make everybody conform. And the only ideas that fly are the ones that conform. And the people with creative ideas get shoved to the side or laughed at. So,
well, it's
story
one
of my life
that I think we all kind of understand on some basic level, but now it's about individually being willing to support others that are creative.
Absolutely.
You know, 'cause it doesn't take a company to start, you know, a revolution. It takes people, and it takes people that are supportive, you know?
And so, to not be just shooting down ideas just because they're new. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to find people you believe in and really, you know, stick up for them in whatever way is symbolically, you know, important enough to help.
Well, and the other thing, sometimes a new idea when it's first born is not complete, and it may not sound like, oh, but it's got this hole in it, and it's got this problem, and we've got this, and it either gets shot down, or you can keep working with it and fix everything that, you know, the initial idea may have confronted in the transition period and still make it fly, and it'll still work better.
Yeah. Yes. But as far as what people can do, because I know a lot of people say, I really wish I could help support the arts and support individuals and starving artists and stuff, but I don't know what I can do. And I don't think it's that difficult. I think it's like finding people you really believe in or finding art you truly believe in and sticking your neck out a little bit for it, you know?
Even
emotional
support.
Being willing to share links online, being willing to tell people you know to go check it out.
Those amongst your friends who are
artists. You are definitely helping
the
arts by doing that.
You know, and even artists, they'll shoot holes in each other, you know, just because, oh, I'm better than he is, you know, or, you know, there's, oh, the trouble with this guy is, and everybody's a critic. But, you know, like I say, amongst your friends especially,
But you see what I do on my Facebook and Twitter, man. If I believe in my friends and what they're doing, I will definitely share their links consistently.
Oh, me too.
Every time they put out something new, I'm going to share it if I really believe in these people. And that's to show not just them, but everybody else that I believe in these people.
Mm-hmm. And pass it along. That makes it worthwhile for them, definitely.
And I think that really is supporting the arts on the most grassroots level you can, you know.
That's true. And go and see things. Go to events. See your friends' stuff. Go to the arts, you know. Enjoy them.
Right. Oh, and support with money, too, not just with sharing. Go and pay to go see them play and et cetera. Or, you know, if they're artists, different kinds, you know, find ways to invest in their work.
There's so much different art. The kinds of murals in this town, and every train station is modeled differently. There's a lot of really interesting things to marvel at in the city.
Well, I think it's cool that now in this new internet age where most of the online music and entertainment is, you know, on internet, to be able to find ways to support artists through these PayPal links, you know, like we've been doing at Tantrum and Frozen Food, and, you know, where you can just go directly to the artist and donate, and, you know, the artist can send you stuff directly.
And
you know?
For that matter, if you're looking for home decor, do drop by Etsy before you go to eBay, because Etsy is all handcrafted items and it's almost as big. I have a friend who supports herself on Etsy. A couple of friends, as a matter of fact.
There you go. Independent business meets independent radio.
That might be the way we have to go. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know. So what are you going to play in the next segment here, John?
Oh, no clue. I was thinking of maybe casting about YouTube a little bit and seeing what I had, maybe check my history folder and see what I got.
I got a good one for you to play.
What do you got?
It's if you go to YouTube, type in A Real Indication. It's produced by David Lynch. The name of the group is Thought Gang. Thought Gang, A Real Indication.
Okay.
And it's David Lynch, director, producer, writer of many films, including Dune, Elephant Man,
A Real Indication,
Angelo Badalamenti is the producer of all the soundtrack music for Twin Peaks.
Oh.
And the film Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me, which this song is on.
Uh-huh.
It's dope. Trust me, that's a good one to play. Play it for me.
This one says, this looks like the real thing, the Thought Gang, A Real Indication, with 8,100 views.
There you go.
Not
hit them
very
with that
big.
One.
I'm on it. I'm on
it. All right, man.
We're good.
I bet you'll like that one.
Excellent.
That'll make you want to listen to more David Lynch. You need a little more David Lynch music in your life. Everybody does.
Well, and that's how we work here on Kill Radio. Immediately interactive radio. We play requests on the spot if we can churn
and
them up.
If we don't, they put us to death.
No, they go somewhere else and we lose a listener. Oh, shit.
Which is even worse than death, so, you know, don't do that.
I'm down to two. I'm not counting right now, I'm guessing.
And what two fine listeners you are.
Oh, and I'm so glad for my many listeners, all both of them, yes.
Well, in their names, let them get a real indication of a laugh coming on, because it's coming.
Oh, this will be a treat for all of us.
All right, man. Well, good talking to you, John. Rock, rock on. Two people out there. Rock, rock on. Get more people to listen. Please.
Thanks for checking in. And you know what? Actually, I will check the demographics, and I bet it's a higher number than that. I bet it is.
All right, man. Well, be good. I'll be listening.
Okay. All right. Well, have a great afternoon, and I guess we'll see you Friday, maybe?
Yeah, Friday, most probably.
I sure hope so.
All right, man. Well, we'll talk soon.
All right, man. Have a great
one. Peace.
My love to all. Bye-bye. And thank you. Hang up the phone there. Thank you, Mr. Tucker Booth, for your kind contribution this afternoon. And speaking of kind contributions, now let's open this thing up and wait for it to load and see if there's a commercial I have to delete. No, it's all good. Hang by.
away, gone off in a world filled with stuff. Lights start changing and there's wires in the air and the asphalt.
Nice combo there. Very unique instrumentalists putting that together, doing a real indication. That was the Thought Gang having a real indication. Brought to you by Tucker Booth. Distantly, as a suggestion. Wonderful. While that was playing, I picked up another little notion along the way. See if this one will start. Now, this is the Texas Hippie Coalition, and this song is called Turn It Up. So that's usually my advice. Here we go then.
Texas music, she started.
TSA, the Texas Hippie Coalition. Excuse me, the Texas Hippie Coalition, a discerning group of fine gentlemen producing quality music for your enjoyment. And I would highly recommend the video. Turn it up. It's in HD. Definitely a visual experience to behold. These guys visually are also a spectacle, put on quite a stage act, and I never heard of them. And it made me think of something that I heard in another song, the line, "Don't you boys know any nice songs?" So, just in celebration of that, I'm going to play that song. Here you go.
We take you now to a garage in the Oakland Park.
It wasn't very large. There was just enough room to cram the drums in the corner over by the Dodge. It was a 54 with a mashed up door and a cheesy little amp, with a sign on the front said Fender Champ and a second hand guitar. It was a Stratocaster with a whammy bar.
We could jam in Joe's garage. His mama was screaming, his dad was mad. We was playing the same old song in the afternoon, and sometimes we would play it all night long. It was all we knew and easy to, so we wouldn't get it wrong. All we did was bend the string like, hey, down in Joe's garage. We didn't have no dope or LSD, but a couple of quarts of beer would fix it, so the intonation would not offend your ear. And the same old chords going over and over became a symphony. We could play it again and again and again, cause it sounded good to me. One more time. We could jam in Joe's garage. His mama was screaming, turn it down. We was playing the same old song in the afternoon, and sometimes we were playing all night long. It was all we knew, and easy too, so we wouldn't get it wrong. Even if we played it on the saxophone. We thought we was pretty good. We talked about keeping the band together, and we figured that we should. Cause about this time we was getting the eye from the girls in the neighborhood. They'd all come over and dance around like, so we picked out a stupid name, had some cards printed up for a couple of bucks, and we was on our way to fame. Got matching suits and Beetle boots and a sign on the back of the car, and we was ready to work in a go-go bar. People seemed to like our song. They got up and danced and made a lot of noise, and it wasn't for very long. A guy from a company we can't name said we ought to take his pen and sign on the line for a real good time, but he didn't tell us when. These good times would be something that was really happening. So the band broke up, and it looks like we will never play again.
Guess you only get one chance in life to play a song that goes like, Money boy.
Something for you classical buffs out there.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. I do love my classical groups and orchestras out there. That, of course, was the Frank Zappa Philharmonic Orchestra performing Ravel's Bolero, preceded by Joe's Garage. Classic, classical stuff. This, to me, makes me nostalgic. But in any case, hope you like that. That I really like that treatment, that arrangement, if you will. Bennett and I were having a discussion earlier today about how much we like songs played in another style. I do enjoy a good mashup now and then, among other things. Variety is the spice of life. And that being said, and in keeping with the Kill Radio mission statement of having a voice in the wilderness away from corporate media, which is not going to show you the kinds of things that we can, I came across this little video. The Snap Judgment Performer of the Year. Young man named Jamie DeWolf, but his name is not really Jamie DeWolf. Well, I guess it's legally Jamie DeWolf, but he did not come from a DeWolf family lineage. He happens to be the grandson of L. Ron Hubbard. And, you know, the funny thing is there's an L. Ron Hubbard building on my block across the street from Kill Radio. L. Ron Hubbard was responsible for this big building that's very beautiful inside. I've never seen hardly anybody go in and out of it. It's virtually empty. Oftentimes it has a guard sitting at the desk. Supposed to be some kind of administrative office. But whatever it is that the Scientologists do, and whatever it is that drew you into Scientology, well, I think you'd better hear this coming straight from a family member, because it's interesting and it is entertaining. I promise. It's only about 9 minutes. Okay, bear with me. There is music too. Okay, stand by.
Now, I'm excited about this one. This is going to make history. Our next guest, a poet, writer, filmmaker, educator, photographer. I'm leaving stuff out. Brother is amazing, and you are in for a treat. I'm in for some trouble, and you're about to find out why. Mr. Jamie DeWolf.
Every family has their black sheep. On my mother's side, our black sheep was a shepherd who enslaved his own flock. The king of the Khans, a man who made himself a messiah, even though he never called himself a god. Even tonight, his words are written in steel and titanium capsules in a nuclear reinforced bunker miles underground. So if our whole species goes extinct, his words will still survive. He was a subject we never talked about at the kids' table at family reunions, but he was my great-grandfather, L. Ron Hubbard. Lafayette Ron Hubbard. He was born a storyteller, a science fiction writer, a golden-tongued grifter who could write a book in any genre while the publisher waited downstairs in the hotel lobby. Just another name on dime store pulp mags, paid only a penny a page until 1949 when he said, "You want to know how you really get rich? You start a religion." A year later, he kept to his word, wrote Dianetics, transforming science fiction into fact, until you could pay to flatline your mind for a fee. Overnight, he went from pennies to a profit, until the world demanded to see his evidence. But L. Ron knew if you don't have facts, all you need is faith. So he turned his science into a religion, and Scientology was born. A few years later, his son arrived, a baby who had survived an early abortion attempt, born premature at 2 pounds, 2 ounces, abandoned by his father as he sought fame and fortune. Now he emerged to take his part of the new family business. He was my grandfather, L. Ron Hubbard Jr. Carrying his father's name and his red hair, Jr. became his right-hand man and was a devout disciple and a believer, helping him to construct the church, and it took him years to realize he was only another accomplice. Trained in the arts of electrified hypnotism, blackmail, and beatdowns, he learned to hide his crimes behind his charisma. And it took him a decade to see the holes behind the holy, the man behind the myth, his father. Stuffing thousands of dollars in a shoebox he kept secret underneath the bed, his father. Burning incriminating documents before dawn, his father. Escaping criminal charges as he ran from state to state as Junior watched his family and friends' brains washed, banks broken. Sickened by what he had seen behind the curtain, in 1959, Junior left. But his father always understood retribution better than redemption, and he stalked his son with wiretaps, break-ins, and death threats. My grandfather coming home to photographs of his children in his mailbox, playing on playgrounds, alone and unguarded, to remind him the eye of the pyramid never blinks. While every one of my aunts and uncles were taught how to use a gun, the son, forced to live like his dad, permanently on the run until he changed his last name from Hubbard to DeWolf. A lie to protect him from ever having to tell the truth. When your father has created a religion in your lifetime, there's no son big enough to ever escape his shadow. But there's a thin line between prophecy and psychosis, and the barefaced messiah ran from countries and criminal charges, an international outlaw on a ship, escaping extradition, his sanity slipping as he started confusing his past from his fiction, until one day he vanished before a courtroom or a jail cell could ever make him real again. Junior, now buried under debt, tried to flush his father out of hiding to write him a check. So he litigated the Holy Ghost to prove he still had flesh. The son took his war public to scrape the idol's gold down to rust. Junior, now a dying diabetic with an amputated foot, buried and battered from a decade of lawsuits against the man who carried his same name. Until the day his dad died in hiding, cremated the next morning, leaving only a legacy of ashes. The church gave the son one final offer. Arrest your tongue, swallow the truth for one final check, or you and your next of kin will face a lifetime of threats. So he signed away his silence and took his secrets and two heart attacks to his grave. Another victim the church stopped pretending to save. On Thanksgiving, in a house a self-made God paid for, his great-grandchildren never said his name. He was the one God we never gave grace to. One day, my grandfather led me to a bookshelf and showed me volumes of his father's works. And he said, "Your mom says you want to be a writer. Well, don't believe everything you read, but believe everything you say." I never met the man who gave me my red hair, the manic depression still twisted in the strains of my DNA. And the first time I saw a psychiatrist, when he asked me if mental illness runs in my family, all I could say was, "Yes. Yes, it does." When I told him my great-grandfather was a cult leader that enslaved the minds of millions, he accused me of having delusions of grandeur. What can I say? It runs in my veins. I've been in secret to L. Ron Hubbard Hollywood life exhibits, where his latest victim leads me on a tour of a life he never led, my family written out of existence. And this disciple will never know the legacy of lies that I still carry in my last name. The Wolf, a cover story to protect us from my great-grandfather's true children, the army of empty, who greet me in train stations with an e-meter and a personality test, and they ask me if I've ever heard of L. Ron Hubbard. And I want to ask them, which one? the Son or the Father, the God or the man.
And once again, that was Jamie DeWolf, Snap Judgment Performer of the Year. You can find that yourself on YouTube. He's a handsome young man. And in honor of that little bit of news that I hope I enlightened you with, I'm going to do a little more throwback music, a little more grandpa music here. Buy My Snake Oil.
Being a legendary and pro, and I'm too damn weird to of my old band for endless reunion tours, singing all those hits from the good old days, but how bad the good old days were. And the Orthodox fundamentalist faction of the crowd will say, hooray! How politically correct! These quick time different ideas of last, obeying the same kind of stodgy rule, punk used to rebel against.
Probably thought that was Luciano Pavarotti in the London Philharmonic, right? No, that was Mojo Nixon and Jello Biafra, and I think that was Skid Roper on harp, and this is Chumbawamba.
I'll call security, sir.
Connie, cause you must for the shit. Connie, cause you must for the shit. Do something about it.
Look at that. It looked like it ended, and the file is right in the middle there. So this is one of those ones with the long silence. And that was a little fourplex from Chumbawamba. Let me get the mic over here so that my eyes can see. Oh, Jello Biafra and Mojo Nixon.
If there's nothing after death, then why are we living anyway? What's the point of
what?
70 years is absolutely pointless.
Oh, there's more. What's this? Tracks from Chumbawamba at the end of their Dumbing Down cut. Before that, we played Mouthful of Shit. And before that, Lie, 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 Lie. And now we're on to bigger and better things, but I have no idea what they are because I've set nothing else up. Isn't that exciting? I guess we'll just have to wing it, huh? Does this work really hard? Oh, that's what I wanted. I remember now. The next thing in the chain.
It's me, Chrysler.
We'll be right back.
Fooled ya.
Cause you lose, oh!
Thank you, Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think I did it again. I made you believe we're more than just friends. Oh, baby. It might seem like a crush, but it doesn't mean that I'm serious. Got to lose all my senses. That is just so typical me. Oh, baby.
Ei se mitään, hyvin menee. Michael. Ehkäpä tämän viikon toivotuin biisi yläksi toiveesta Children of Bottom, Oops, I Did It Again. Justiisa tossa ennen kuin pistin biisin soimaan.
And 3, 4. Unmarried, looking for love, life was passing me by. So I sent off my photo, hobbies and age, magazine marriage I'd try. They say for centuries lovely Japanese girls have been trained in the art of pleasing men. Be lonely no more, open destiny's door. For $1 they arrange a meeting. My image was wrong, I didn't like me, so I changed my personality. I bought a deluxe Mersey Beach wig, but it was a size too big. What confidence in my new built-up shoes, so smart for winter or summer, undetectable in normal everyday use. Look out, there's a monster coming. Bye-bye binoculars and Macintosh, everything is just great. I take elocution, learn to speak posh, but still I can't find a mate. Be popular, learn to play the guitar, in 7 days you could be strumming. Be sociable, learn kissing technique. Look out, there's a monster coming. for my Connor, because I reshaped my nose, plastic surgery's best. To cut down my weight, off comes my left leg, I pass the swimming costume test. Are my sideboards too long, wrote my aftershave pong, I know my nude nose ain't running. What's wrong with my tie, am I getting too high? Look out, there's a monster coming. Disfiguring ugly, my facial hair, I had removed electrically. I rejuvenated my energy cells and regained my virility. Grunt, grunt, he put my hand on my heart, I didn't change any part. He had a machine for a mommy. Please be gentle with me, I come to pieces, literally. Look out, there's a monster coming. 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 Look out, there's a monster coming.
Which was kind of the whole theme of my show, sort of. That, of course, was the ever-present Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, who are the precursors to Monty Python. So they go way back before your time, you young whippersnappers. Before that, of course, was the Children of Bodom doing the Britney Spears classic, Oops, I Did It Again. Preceded by Cyndi Lauper doing her classic Money Changes Everything. Always songs with a message for all my lovely listeners out here in WWW land in the whole wide world. And in the meantime, I see that Jesse has come in the door and the clock has turned and time for me to go my way and get the heck out of his way. And make it possible so that we can continue the exciting scheduling here at Kill Radio. And I really do invite you to stay tuned, honestly, to listen to Brown Zero, because Jesse always brings hard-hitting topical matter and his own flavor of music to the fore here. Always different and always exciting and always really listenable, truly. And I love your co-host. I love your guest. I love your dog. So we all have kind of a family thing going here in Kill Radio. And in the meantime, be a part of the change you want to see. And what was that L. Ron Hubbard's grandson, or was it L. Ron Hubbard's great-grandson said? He said, don't believe everything you read, but believe everything you say. Which means stop lying and be good to each other, show each other love, be part of the change you want to see, and let me get the heck out of here. All right, have a great week.
See, I go here, I hit 2 and enter.